Now, faith, and this English word translates the Pali Saddha and Sanskrit Shraddha, which can be translated also as confidence, also as devotion, or the whole emotional feeling side of the spiritual life. This is the wholesome, that is to say the ethically wholesome counterpart of Trishna, craving or thirst. Independence of Vedana, feeling, in this case of the unsatisfactoriness of the world, there arises not thirst, not craving, but faith. Faith in something above, beyond the world, higher than the world. Now the word Shraddha in Sanskrit comes from a verb which means to place the heart on. So Shraddha, in the Buddhistic sense, putting aside all the connotations of faith in English, means the placing of the heart, the orientation, as it were, of one's emotional life, the placing of the heart on the unconditioned, the absolute, if you like, rather than on the conditioned. So in this way it is said, independence upon dukkha, independence upon one's experience of the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned existence, of one's ordinary life, there arises saddha, confidence or faith, in the sense of sensitivity to, if you like, even belief in, awareness of, a whole higher dimension of truth and reality, that is to say the spiritual. In other words, when, independence upon one's experience, or one's feeling, there arises not thirst or craving for the perpetuation of the pleasant side of feeling, but faith or confidence. In this sense, one has reacted, not in a cyclical order, but one is reactive in a progressive order, and the spiral of the spiritual life has begun to unwind. So therefore, one has come to the first stage of the path, the stage of faith, independence upon dukkha, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, there arises not Trishna, not craving, but faith, in the sense of that sensitivity to a whole new world of higher spiritual values. Now, as a result of this experience, as a result of the arising of that Shraddha or faith, that sensitivity to these higher values, one starts practicing two virtues which in Buddhism are called Dana and Sila. Dana means simply giving, generosity. Craving already has become weakened because independence upon feeling, there has arisen not craving but faith. So craving has become weakened, one's hold on material things, as it were, slackens, one becomes more generous, and one practices the virtue of Dana. And also one practices Sila or ethics, or if you like, the moral life, because one's hold on the things of this world becomes looser. One practices, especially at this stage, the five precepts, as we call them in Buddhism, not taking life, not taking what is not given, abstention from sexual misconduct, use of right speech, and abstention from intoxicating or stupefying drinks and drugs. So as a result of this practice, as a result of giving, as a result of an ethical life, and as a result especially of this arising of faith, in the sense of sensitivity to these higher spiritual values, one feels light, one feels happy, and one feels contented. One feels that there's now some definite aim in one's life. Before, one was just swept along, aimlessly, driven perhaps would be a better word, aimlessly, in pursuit of this and that. One didn't really know what the end of one's life was. If you ask a person usually, well, what's your aim in life? If he's still at school or at college, he'll say, well, to pass, to qualify, to get a job, to marry. So if you meet him after he's done all that, you say, what's your aim in life? So he might say, well, to get a bit of promotion, I suppose, and retire on a good pension. If you meet him after that, you ask, well, what's the aim of your life? He'll say, well, I think my life's ended now, it's finished. Can't be any question of an aim. So that's the usual way things are. But when independence upon one's experience of life, especially one's experience of the unsatisfactory side of it, there arises faith in the Buddhist sense, sensitivity to something above and beyond, then one has a definite aim in life, that is, to get further in that same direction. A spiritual contact has been made. Of course, it isn't all smooth sailing. One often finds that one is diverted, one is deflected. Faith may arise, but it may also subside. So the pendulum keeps on swinging. In the case of some people, it swings quite violently. You may see them for a time coming to lectures, meetings, classes, tremendously interested in Buddhism. Then they disappear for a while. And after 2 or 3 months, you see them again. They come back rather shyly, rather hesitantly, sit at the back. And you may perhaps have a talk with them one day, and you may say, "What happened to you all those months? You seemed so keen, so interested, you were one of the most regular people, then you disappeared." So they may say, "Oh, I was busy," just like that, but with a hangdog sort of expression. Or if they're honest, they may give a rather shamefaced smile, and they may say, "Well, I'm afraid that for a few months, well, I was just living it up." And you can just understand from that what has happened. But they come back. The pendulum swings, but as time goes by, it swings less and less violently, and it comes eventually to rest in the center. So in this way, we find independence upon our experience of the unsatisfactoriness of life, that arises faith. And when out of faith we start practicing dana or giving and leading a moral life, practicing the 5 precepts, we find that we experience peace and contentment, or what we call in Buddhism technically satisfaction and delight. Then we say in dependence upon the saddha, the faith, there arises pamoja. This means a sort of tranquility, a sort of feeling of being at peace with oneself. Or we may translate it more approximately, satisfaction and delight. So these are the first 3 steps, the first 3 stages. In dependence upon dukkha, there arises saddha, faith or confidence. In dependence upon the saddha, the faith or confidence, there arises pamoja, the satisfaction and delight in the life which one is now leading. Now this feeling becomes more and more intense. The stronger your faith grows, the more vigorously you practice your dana, the more sincerely you practice your ethics. So the feeling of satisfaction and delight that you get out of this way of life becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. So in this way, independence upon the pamoja, the satisfaction and delight that arises, what we call piti. Piti is a very difficult word to translate. Piti means, or at least it's been translated as, interest, enthusiasm, joy, rapture, and even ecstasy. And it means all these things. That as one leads the religious, and more especially the spiritual life, with faith, practicing dana, practicing sila, experiencing contentment, satisfaction, and delight, a sort of thrill of pure joy or bliss builds up. And it's this which we call piti, a certain lightness, a certain buoyancy, almost, as I've said, a certain ecstasy.